Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Joshua chapter 5. And Israel has now crossed the river. They have set up camp and now they are about to head towards Jericho. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Imagine that word going out that this nation whom God is for, who dries up rivers, who fed in the wilderness, is now coming and God's favor is upon them. And the surrounding nations indeed were concerned. And isn't it interesting that, you know, this miracle is not only known by Israel, but it's known by the people around. God parted that river. Hallelujah. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So also Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haroth. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who had come out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war died in the wilderness along the way after they had come out of Egypt, for all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised, for the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them along the way. That's very interesting that they did not continue to follow circumcision, which was given to Abraham's family while they were in the desert. Maybe, I don't know, because of the conditions of the desert, maybe because they were essentially camping in the midst of a desert, and however they used to do it when they were in Egypt, they just stopped doing it. But it seems as though this is a sign of Israel's unfaithfulness. You know, they did do a lot of things of unfaithfulness while they're in the desert, and the fact that they're not honoring God and circumcising their children while they're in the desert is really a reproach or something that they're not honoring God with. And he's like, you know what, I'm doing this miracle for you, I'm bringing you this into the land, but you still haven't even, you know, done what I've asked you to do to identify as my people. And, you know, it also was a cleansing thing. You know, it's hard for us to relate today. You know, most of us were circumcised after we were born, so therefore we never had to deal with the foreskin around our penis. That was a thing that could get infected. It was an area that could be unclean very easily. It's healthier to not have that foreskin, and it also identified themselves as God. And you know, there was a spiritual aspect to it because you were honoring the Lord by doing it. Later on in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, it says this. Now this is much later when Israel is again not following God. Picking it up in Jeremiah 4, actually, verse 3, Jeremiah says this, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskin of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of your evil deeds. So, the sign of circumcision was a sign of dedication, a sign of holiness, a sign of honor unto God. And Israel stopped doing it in the desert. And before God brings them into this land and blesses them, he's wanting to stop and pause and have them honor the commands that he has given them, and thereby identifying as his people. Now, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. So that had to take a while, you know, as a I would imagine doing this as an adult would take longer to heal than as a little baby. So it was going to take some time where they had to wait. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal, which means rolled or rolling to this day." And I think this is just like capstoning the fact that they are now completely out of Egypt, out of the desert, and they're now entering the land that God had promised to give Abraham. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. I talked about that in a previous podcast, that they crossed over on the 10th day, which I thought was very interesting. And that's the day that Jesus rode into town many years later. And now they're celebrating the Passover Thursday night, which became their Friday at sunset. This is their first Passover post-desert. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. Isn't that interesting? Like, as soon as they get to this feast of Passover and they've crossed the river, God stops the manna and now they're eating from the land. It's amazing how God can just do what he wants and time things up the way that he wants. It's pretty incredible. Now, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed now come as captain of the host of the Lord." So Joshua recognizes this person as from God, an angel. In fact, some even believe that this is an image of the Lord Jesus Christ, they call it a Christophany, a place where Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. So some think that's what this could be. "No, rather, indeed, I come now as captain of the host of the Lord, of God's heavenly army." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Isn't that interesting? And I wish we knew a little bit more about exactly where Joshua was. But I think that what it appears to me is that with the great victory that is about to be given in an amazing and miraculous way to Israel, God is trying to show Joshua that he is with him, that he is for him, that God's going to take care of Israel just as he did in the desert, just as he helped them cross the river, just as he fed them. Now he's going to give them victory, and he wants Joshua as leader to honor him and to realize God's hand of protection and blessing is upon him and Israel. And before they move forward to march and to take Jericho, they pause and pray, take off their sandals, and acknowledge God. And really, that's what this chapter seems to be about, isn't it? Before the victory, they are celebrating the Passover. They're getting their lives right. They're circumcising their heart of flesh. They're consecrating themselves to the Lord, and now they're praying and recognizing God's provision before they take their next step. Oh, praise the Lord that we have the Lord on our side, that we have the favor of God, that we have now become part of the family of God through Jesus, that we do not go through this life on our own, that we do not fight alone, but that the Lord is with us. He's with us now, not only in this season of life, but he will be with us in our heavenly home. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for God's blessing upon Israel, upon Joshua, but I'm also grateful today to be part of the family of God and have the blessing of Jesus. May we never forget, and we may remember that we are the people of God. We are part of His family. He is our Abba Father. Hallelujah. God bless you all.